Welcome to Tax Justice Warriors. On today's episode, I am going to focus on financial disability and give some updates from what I am working on, updates to recent episodes. So thank you for tuning in for today's episode.
Welcome to Tax Justice Warriors, the podcast that celebrates the work of low-income taxpayer clinics, focuses on tax controversy work, and looks at related issues in tax news. I'm your host, William Schmidt, the director of the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic at Kansas Legal Services.
I wanted to start by taking a peek behind the curtain today that recently I have been busy writing several articles, along with my regular designated orders postings for procedurally taxing. I wrote a tribute to Nina Olson, and I drafted an article related to some collection due process orders from the tax court. I wrote an article for the American Bar Association section of taxation Tax Times newsletter. I have been working with the others on the collection due process summit initiative. As mentioned recently in procedurally taxing, we have put together three collection due process panels for the October meeting in San Francisco for the American Bar Association section of taxation, and we are developing the summit initiative meeting as part of the, well, for the entire low-income taxpayer representation workshop in December. That will be immediately before the low-income taxpayer clinic conference, and those of us involved with the CDP summit initiative will also be working on a panel for the conference. Along with that, I am the chair of the Kansas City Metropolitan Bar Association Tax Committee. We have a meeting today that I will talk about the collection due process initiatives. During this time in July, I am working on the low-income taxpayer clinic grant report, the latest report on the first 6 months of 2019. Is due at the end of the month. And then, of course, there are the regular cases that at times things are a little bit quiet, but there is always something to juggle when it comes to casework. So this is just to let you know that things have been busy in the meantime, but I do want to keep on track with providing a weekly Tax Justice Warriors episode for everyone. I forgot to mention last week with the taxpayer advocacy panel that through the Federal Register, I found out about several of the committees that are part of the taxpayer advocacy panel. So not only do they have their joint committee, but there are various committees that I believe their various leaders make up the joint committee. So those include notices and correspondence, the communications project, the taxpayer assistance center, special projects, toll-free phone line, and forms and publications. These various committees sound to be quite useful in helping taxpayers have better relations with the IRS. If I become part of them, I am sure I can come up with various suggestions, and I believe they would be doing good work, so I hope that is something that I will be a part of starting next year. Now, something else I wanted to turn to is financial disability, and I am looking at Publication 556, Examination of Returns, Appeal Rights, and Claims for Refund, that on page 15, it has a section on periods of financial disability. Now, what this is concerns the 3-year statute of limitations regarding refunds from the IRS. This is a potential exception that a client may have. So going through, it is speaking to individuals that the statute of limitations for credits and refunds can be suspended during a period when they cannot manage their financial affairs because of physical or mental impairment that is medically determinable and either one has lasted or can be expected to last continuously for at least 12 months, or two can be expected to result in death. So to submit a claim for financial disability, then they must submit a statement signed by a physician that is qualified to make the determination, and this has 4 requirements in the physician's written statement. 1, the name and description of the physical or mental impairment. 2. The physician's medical opinion that the physical or mental impairment prevented the taxpayer from managing their financial affairs. 3. The physician's medical opinion that the individual's physical or mental impairment was or can be expected to result in death, or that it has lasted or can be expected to last for a continuous period of not less than 12 months. And 4. To the best of the physician's knowledge, the specific time period during which the individual was prevented by such physical or mental impairment from managing their financial affairs. Also, there needs to be a written statement by the person signing the claim for a credit or refund that no person, including the taxpayer's spouse, was authorized to act on their behalf in financial matters during the period described in the fourth paragraph or the fourth section of the physician's statement. Alternatively, if a person was authorized to act on their behalf in financial matters during any part of the period described in that paragraph, beginning and ending dates of the period of time the person was so authorized. Now, I worked with a client for a claim for financial disability, and for one thing, I had to spend several periods of time just trying to stay in contact with this person, so I could tell she had difficulty in focusing. I had to keep with her just to get the different letters that supported her claim. Now, what had happened was that she had gone to a site similar to VITA or some kind of volunteer income tax assistance type center. There they had drafted a tax return for her, and as it was, she was coming close to the end of the three-year period that she could receive a refund on her tax return. Somehow in the process, she did not sign the tax return, but it was mailed to the IRS. They sent back paperwork saying it could not be processed without her signature. During that period, she had a nervous breakdown and was paranoid, not filling out paperwork, and so basically avoided signing the tax return until quite a bit of time later. And the expiration date had passed once she was submitting all of her paperwork correctly. Now, she has a payee who is managing her financial affairs. We submitted all of this paperwork, and the person who reviewed that in IRS appeals denied her claim. I spoke with the Taxpayer Advocate Service, and they have submitted claims regarding financial disability in the past, and their assessment was that the claims for financial disability seem to be routinely denied. So while this is a provision available regarding taxpayers, it seems like there are difficulties in being successful. I wanted to let you know about its availability, but also want to warn you that there are low chances for success. Since I've only submitted one and it has not worked out, I don't really have great tips on what to do to get a successful claim, but I wanted to educate you that it is available. Hopefully you will have better luck than I did, and I hope this educates you. So thank you for tuning in today with Tax Justice Warriors.
Thank you for listening to Tax Justice Warriors. We have a Patreon page if you'd like to support this podcast. Providing monetary support for this podcast helps with expenses like equipment or travel to tax conferences. Supporting this podcast through Patreon comes with rewards, so check out our Patreon page. Please rate or review this podcast because positive reviews help get more people to know this podcast exists. The views expressed on this podcast are not official opinions of the IRS, the Low Income Taxpayer Clinic program, or the employers of the people who spoke on this program. Your tax situation is unique, so do not take the statements on this program as tax or legal advice. Consult with your own tax professional to provide you with specific advice on your situation. Tune in next time on Tax Justice Warriors for another interesting tax discussion.